Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back to this week. Today we're doing part two of our topic from last week, which was contribution to society or community. And I had a beautiful friend of mine, Bo, who came on, and we did have a discussion around the sorts of benefits that you have when children in particular, but anybody, is contributing to their community. And today I want to explore this a little bit deeper because I feel like this is such an important topic, and it's certainly something that is it's gaining momentum globally from where I can see. I talk to people in many different countries all over the world, and the moving away from big corporations, big business being treated like a number, and going back to connection and local and community is beautiful to watch. But there's a lot of men and women and children out there, offspring out there, that aren't sure what that even looks like because we're out of practice. We've been conditioned, I guess, to go to a supermarket, for example, and that's a one-stop shop for all of your food, rather than going straight to the farmer to get the fresh food or the fresh meat or the fresh milk or wood or whatever it happens to be that you need, which is what I certainly remember from my childhood. You know, the milkman dropping off the bottles of milk in glass on your doorstep early in the morning, and the fruit man coming around with his truck. And all of the soft drinks back then were pretty much made in the little town that I was there, and it didn't have all the preservatives in it. And life was much slower back then, and you were able to pause and breathe and make connections, and you knew people, you could wave to them, say hi. There was such a beautiful sense of connection. So in my humble opinion, the psychological benefits alone, really, you know, that strengthening sense of purpose and what it's like to be an earth being, a human, is really important. And that contribution really does activate that part of your psyche, which is, you know, who am I? And what can I bring? What can I contribute? And what is my place in the whole? And this is something that would be very valuable, particularly for our children and our teenagers. There are a lot of young teens out there that are feeling despondent or disconnected or are seeking. There are some that are really active and really motivated, and they're seeking these connections, and they have so much to give. They've got these amazing skill sets, they're big hearts, and yet our communities seem to feel, even neighbourhoods today in many different places, feel quite detached. And if you're living in a part of the world where it's not like that, then I'm so happy for you. That's just beautiful, and really grateful that you have that opportunity. And it would be really wonderful if you could reach out and share what is it that you're doing. Because sometimes people think, I'm not doing anything special. It's very simple. But sometimes those simple things, and that's what we need to go back to, is simple, or what we could go back to, not need, inspires somebody else. Something that you might be your ordinary actually completely inspires somebody else. So please share, talk to the people in your community, whoever that may be, and make those connections. And also, I would love for to inspire or encourage you to sit back and go, okay, How am I contributing to my community? Community can be family, it can be neighborhood, it can be the town, the city, the property that you're living on, wherever you might be, the village, your little patch, basically. Because purpose really is one of the deepest, psychological needs, having that sense of purpose and connecting to your passion. And when you've got that, something sparks alive in you. Your heart just sparks and you're motivated, and everything you do does not feel like work. For years, people used to say, "You're such a workaholic, Teresa. What are you doing?" And it's like, well, it doesn't feel like work to me. It's play. Like, I'm enjoying this. I really love this. Well, that was for part of my career. Part of it did then become work when all the corporate stuff and the rules and the red tape and things that just did not make sense to me, it lost that connection. Then it was no longer work for me. But for the predominant time in my career, the whole time has just been play. I literally bounce out of bed, could not wait to contribute because I was really connected to my purpose and I loved what I was doing. And when young people contribute, they experience themselves as creators and not just passive consumers. And I feel like that is such a poignant point today. You even if you're teaching a prep class or the littlies, there's still so many things that they can contribute. Obviously, it needs to be age appropriate and interest appropriate. It doesn't matter what your abilities are. Everybody has a gift. Everybody is carrying something, and you might look around and go, but other people are already doing it. Yes, but they're not you, and they're not doing it your way, and they don't have your heart, soul, essence, and they don't have your harmonics, and the perspective that you're coming from, the lens that you're wearing, because all of us are a little bit different. We have a slightly different energetic signature and frequency, and we contribute to the harmony of the neighborhood. All of us are playing an instrument and playing a role. And even if you're just the triangle, you don't have to be the drum, you don't have to be the piano, you don't have to be the grand instrument that's playing the main melody right now, but whatever it is that you contribute still makes it a beautiful symphony in your neighborhood and in your community. It's so important. If you had nothing but drums, banging, 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 which are your warrior types, getting out there and clearing the way. We need our warriors, but you cannot have warriors all the time. There has to be ebbs and flows, and there's a time when the warriors need to put their things, weapons down, and calm your farm and just breathe and allow the nurturers to step forward. Ebbing and flowing, everybody has, or the artists to come forward, or the builders to come forward. Everybody has a place and everybody has something that they can contribute. This is my opinion anyway. Everything today I'm saying is completely my opinion. And it really builds that self-efficacy, that belief in one's capabilities. And this, I have observed this for decades now, the rise of the helicopter parent who would hover over their children and not want them to make a mistake and not want them to go through any hardships because that's what they had to go through. Mate, growing up in the 70s and 80s was amazing. Talk about university of life. I've got a PhD in life just from my childhood. It was the best thing because it shaped me today. But your helicopter parents, or even your lawnmower parents who would go and mow in everything, take out all the obstacles so that their child would have a clear path. Really, what you're saying is you don't trust your child to be capable of doing it. Subconsciously, unconsciously, that's the message that they're getting. And no one even might name that or even see that or even, but they can feel that. They can feel that of, well, I can't do this for myself. And that struggle is really important. You think about the butterfly that's struggling to get out of the cocoon, and if you help it, then it dies. So at some stage, there needs to be that self-efficacy. And every time a child or a teenager completes an act of contribution, and I have had the privilege of observing this for many, many years now, it's just It could be something as simple as going and sweeping a path or organizing an event or tending to the garden or helping mow the next door neighbor's yard. They get that immediate feedback and it's internal because it's their own internal belief of I can contribute and I am capable. So it's a matter of have a look around your house today and your family today. Is there something you're doing that your children could step forward and contribute instead? Teach them, mentor them in any way to help them or inspire them. And some of you might have a sulky teenager sitting in a bedroom going, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, you have to start somewhere, and there might be a little bit of friction if they're out of their comfort zone. But once they start feeling like they're capable, they can go and cook for themselves or put a lot of washing on, and that's giving them that sense of purpose as well, not to mention life skills that they're going to need when they leave home. Really, it's sort of that message of, I can do things that matter and I can influence my environment and I am capable and I am needed. So valuable. And it's that identity formation. So, I'm not really huge on identity, but it does form how we see ourselves and also how others see you, and it's not formed through consumption of something being delivered to you. It's pretty much formed through that doing or expressing or contributing or creating, building, creating, making, that sort of stuff. So I feel that a young boy, girl, man, woman, whatever you want to call it, whatever label we give these days, this is who I am, this is what I bring, and most importantly, this is how I show up. So essential. This is how I show up. Because if they're going to grumble and mope and do what you've asked rather than volunteering to step forward to saying, oh, I can empty the bins and take the rubbish out. And they actually show up and do it, and you acknowledge that and recognize that, particularly in the early days while they're getting that sense of getting into routine that they can contribute. It's really important. It's healthy identity development. I'm not sure if that's the right the wording actually, but it just offers that natural pathway away from comparison. It doesn't have to be perfect. Get away from the perfectionism. Or the external validation. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll take the rubbish out, but what are you going to give me? What do you mean? What am I going to give you? Why do I have to give you anything? You live in this house, shouldn't you contribute? Or you work, you live in this community, couldn't you contribute? If the next door neighbor's unwell next door, wouldn't it be great if you could go and help mow their yard? Yeah, I can do that. Sure, that would be amazing. So there's just so many, I mean, they're very simple examples, and there's so many much bigger things that you can contribute to community. There are young people out there doing incredible things, just amazing, credible things. I shouldn't say not incredible, that's not credible. Credible things, magnificent things in their communities. And I would really love for that to be shouted from the rooftops, rather than let's go and talk about shallow influencers and people who really have that you'll never meet on online, and they've got everything picture perfect and their life looks picture perfect and it's not real and it's not raw, it's not connection, and it's not contributing to the actual physical life that we have around us, being present, getting out of the heart space. Out of the head space and into the heart space, which is contributing, having empathy, compassion, connection. And then that gives you that internal validation because go within is so important, feeling into yourself because you have to live with yourself for the rest of your life. You're not living with everybody else. Well, some people might be, but as a general rule. So, it helps. Young people have initiative, it gives them agency, and when they see a problem and then they go and choose to act on it without waiting for permission, oh my gosh, that's just gold. They're cultivating that initiative, taking the courage to step up because they might be the first one, but guaranteed when they step up, other people will too. They'll be inspired. Someone usually always has to go first. It's honing those leadership skills and, of course, then that personal responsibility. So, these qualities don't come from a worksheet. You can teach this stuff till you're blue in the face in a four-walled classroom, but you have to, at some stage, we've got to stop telling people or colouring in worksheets, colouring between the lines in a worksheet, and actually go out and experience it, direct experience it, and embody the learning. And this comes, this is the real world contribution, not something that we have been doing for many years in schools, which is very superficial, and it might be small contribution within the school, but the moment you step outside that school gate, it all stops. They go home, and what are they contributing to their actual society or community in their family life or outside in their community in their neighborhoods? So it's almost like a lot of schooling environments now work in silos. And I have observed children who have done amazing contribution things within the school and it stops at the gate, or vice versa. I have met incredible, just inspiring children, and a lot of them really live in the country, actually, rural and in the country, in my experience, and they're doing amazing things. And then they've got to be squish into this square box, or it's like that round peg square hole. They've got to squish into this personality or identity when they're in that schooling setting, and all of those amazing life skills that they've been learning, they're not necessarily able to apply that in what it is they're learning in the schooling setting. It's madness, really. There's a disconnect there. What can we do about this, guys? Like, seriously, what can we do about this? And I know there's pockets in the world that are already all over this, but I'm reaching out to the people where looking around going, actually, we could be doing more of this. What could we do? What could you do? What could your neighbor do? Next time you go out for coffee with friends, bring it up as a conversation and see what comes out of it. Because this is how we start this. It's that if everybody is looking after their own little community and their own little patch, then the world would be a completely better place, because you don't need big corporate governments to come in and make decisions for the whole. Small local communities can make decisions for themselves, and the children can absolutely be involved in this. Absolutely. Now, this really makes me feel about, emotions. Like, emotions is, I have very high emotional intelligence, and that's not ego, that's just who I am. I'm fully aware of my faults, but one of my strengths is emotional intelligence, and being able to feel and connect and self-regulate my own emotions. Very little ever triggers me. I don't take things personally. I'm often able to look at that, but I can read people's emotions and body language, and I'm quite intuitive in that way. And I feel like contributing to, contribution in general gives huge emotional benefits. That, not to mention that heart expansion, because living from the heart is a really important part of it, and that connection. But it's also the belonging, belonging. Like, what a beautiful word that is. Because isn't that what many people are seeking? You might not want to be the most popular person out there, but you just want to belong somewhere, find your tribe, like-minded, heart-centered, and feel like you belong and you're not isolated and alone. And this is, our retirees out there. There are amazing men and women who've lived such full, rich, some of them challenging lives that have so much to give. And wouldn't it be great if we could have that sense of belonging, and not only contributing for them, but for them to contribute for all of us? Because there is just so much, I see it glaze over in people's faces, the ageism that happens, particularly in my country. It's here. People won't say that it is, but it is. People will judge based on your age group. And I'm not talking everybody, but it's there. It's still an undercurrent. And yet I look at someone who has laugh lines around their face, you don't need Botox for that. That proves that you've had a beautiful life. It's magical. It's amazing. Our elders should be really not only be respected, but there's so much that they have to contribute. And they are contributing. They're driving communities and they're out there. And some of them are tired. And it would be really great to have some young men and women step up and go, hey, can I give you a hand? Can I learn from you? Can I contribute? And that really gives the learners a feeling of being needed, a feeling of being seen, a feeling of connection, and just being part of somebody. Because it's not necessarily about fitting in. It's more about being valued, I guess. And everybody can be valued because everybody has something to share. So, emotional regulation and confidence is important because when you're contributing, you need to plan. Collaborate, particularly if you're doing a project, manage your emotions, communicate with others. You've got to persevere because it's going to be challenging. You're going to jump into the learning dip and it's going to be messy. It's going to be gloriously messy and there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be hard days. Well, not necessarily because I live my life with grace and ease, but yeah, there'll be challenges. But the challenges are actually opportunities because everything is an opportunity to learn. And then what I have observed is when this happens, and I've seen this happen many, many times, there becomes a deep love of the environment, particularly the environment that you live in, because you're looking around you and you're feeling more connected to the elements and you're feeling more connected to the immediate environment, whether you're in the outback, the bush, the beach, the city. Your backyard garden, it could be anything, but I've seen children help care for a garden or a creek, go down to the local creek or a community space, and their emotional relationship to that environment absolutely deepens. Graffiti stops and they start picking up rubbish if they see it, or holding others to account if they're dissing the environment. And, they care more, they notice more, they're more aware and more present. They're not scrolling on their phones all of the time. They're actually a little bit more aware. And then they protect more, which I love that little, mama bear comes out of them, or papa bear comes out of them, and they like to protect their environment because they've just cleaned up the creek and they're aware of the animals and the creatures and everything that lives there because their contribution really creates an attachment, which is, and not in an unhealthy way, it's more in a stewardship way, I guess, is probably what I'm trying to express here. Sorry, I'm saying a lot of words here today, but this is just flowing out of me because I've seen this done very well in many different instances, and I've traveled the world. I've had the privilege of seeing a lot, but I've also been watching, almost despairing sometimes over watching the disconnect happen so gradually, like the frog in the pot. It's happened so slowly, none of us have noticed it. But go out and have a look. Go to a local restaurant and see how many people on their phone. And then there might be a homeless person sitting outside that they've walked past, and they might just need a bottle of water or someone to take the time to have a conversation with them. You don't even have to give them anything, just the time and acknowledge them and see them, and check, have you got somewhere to sleep tonight? It can be something as simple as that, that our children, many children out there are leading the way in this. And sometimes it's the adults that need to have a check and go, yeah, I'm too busy. Well, why are we too busy? Why are we bustling around? We are not all worker bees. It's time for us to slow down and come up for air and regulate our nervous systems and breathe and take time out because the trajectory of that timeline down that path is not a good one. And we are creator beings. We're creating our own timeline and we're creating our own world and our community. So it's a matter of no one else can do it for us. It's time that we step up and we actually talk and communicate with our children How do you contribute? What could you do to contribute? What do you see? And then they hold us to account as well. You know, I give you permission and you give them permission, and we're all working together. It's not an us and them. It's, age has got nothing to do with it, really. So, the physical and the neurological benefits of this, not to, all the happy hormones in your brain, the dopamine, the serotonin, the oxytocin, that when you see someone doing something for somebody else, not only does the receiver, the person that's receiving, get these little happy hormones in their body, the person doing the giving receives all of these beautiful happy hormones. But guess what? So do the others that are observing it happen. When you watch those clips, you're looking at your phone and you watch those clips, and someone does something really beautiful for someone else, you are also receiving those little happy hormones in your body. It's, contribution really ignites the body's natural reward and bonding chemicals, those little chemicals. Dopamine, we know, is the motivation molecule. And I don't know about you, I used to write checklists. I'm a checklist girl. So I would write checklists, but sometimes I'd put things on my checklist that I'd already achieved for the day just so that I had the pleasure of crossing it off, because I'd get that dopamine hit. So I don't need to go on my mobile phone to get a dopamine hit. I can actually do it myself by a sense of achievement of, oh, I did that today. That's great. What about this? What about this? Yeah. It's something, when we complete tasks and we achieve something, there's actually a positive impact internally. It reinforces your motivation, of course, but it also, well, it give used to give me momentum, especially on those days of like, oh, look at my list, it's huge, I've got so many things to do. Rather than be and have that 5, 10 minutes just contemplation time to be, which is how I operate now. But back in my really, really busy life day, my corporate job day, that's pretty much how I operated. But it also gives you the willingness to take action, and then, of course, creativity. And then you feel respected and proud and valued and feel connected. I'm going around in circles now because I feel like I'm saying the same thing, and I don't want to labor the point because it's just, I could go on and on. I did actually want to share some examples of contributions that, there were a really great example of a young girl who took a patch of earth in her neighborhood, and stepped up and created that patch into something amazing. So what I will do is I'm actually going to put that together in a story, and that's what I'm going to attach with this week's article for the podcast. So for those of you who have might be first time listeners or have never heard of me before, for All Learning Reimagined, what we do is every week I write an article or create resources for free, of course, and then publish it on the BBS radio website, and it's also then archived on my landing page. So if you go to bbsradio.com / All Learning Reimagined, no spaces in there, no capital letters needed either. You'll find so many articles, so many resources that I love to contribute to the world. It's from my heart to yours. Take them, adapt them. There's no copyright on any of them. Just take them and do whatever you want with them. That's my contribution. That's because I love you all. I love everybody. Yes, even the cranky pants that are out there sitting in the car right now driving, and you're cranky. I love you too. All right. I'm going to wrap it up because we're out of time this week, but look out for that article. I haven't finished it yet, but I'll finish it by today, and get it up on the website for you. So thank you once again for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. It's only a half an hour, a small chunk to digest. Come and have a chat, make a cuppa, come and listen every week. But I'm encouraging everybody to explore, express, contribute, go out and live learning. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding, and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.